possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. SEC win totals. All right, Cobb, for this version, because we're getting to more of the schools that are pretty much of local interest, let's go through these. There'll be some that I'll ask you to read me the schedule.
Okay.
All right. The Mississippi State Bulldogs. Okay. So they have Arizona State, but they get them at home, correct? Because that game was in Tempe last year.
Correct. But they actually start at Southern Miss, which is kind of tricky.
Okay, but if I give them 3-1, I need to get them an SEC win. Can you read me the SEC games?
Okay, in chronological order, starting in the last week of September, home versus Tennessee, at Texas A&M, at Florida, home versus Texas, at Arkansas, home versus Georgia, at Missouri, then closing with the Egg Bowl, which will be at Davis-Wade Stadium in Starkville this year.
All right, so you're really focused on that Arkansas game. What is the date of the Arkansas game?
The Arkansas game is November the 1st.
All right.
It comes after they play Texas.
But it also comes, if we are correct that Arkansas' schedule is going to bury them, that could be dead Coach Pittman.
Could be.
And that could be.
You're really trying to talk yourself into Mississippi State over 3.5.
And I feel like I should be trying to talk myself the other way because it's juiced. Right now it's minus 162 to the over.
Look, I'm going to buy on this.
Okay, the question for me is, they don't have to be that much better to win a game in the league. The problem, though, is there are other non-con games. So you said at Southern.
So at Southern Miss, probably a win, but not definitely a win. Arizona State, which they could win, but they will be a dog. And then Northern Illinois, which you would normally chalk up as an easy win, but we did see Northern Illinois go into South Bend and beat Notre Dame
Didn't Toledo just absolutely eviscerate State in Starkville last year?
The final score of that game was 41-17, Toledo.
Yeah. I mean, I know there were some turnovers, but, like, that wasn't. The final score got a little out of hand, but not like Toledo was the better team that day.
So I think last year Mississippi State was woefully ill-equipped to compete in the trenches against SEC caliber competition. Now, do I think they went out and got a whole bunch of high caliber future NFL draft picks on the offensive and defensive lines? No, I do not. But I do think they actually have a critical mass of large bodies to at least handle, compete, be in some games late into the fourth quarter against SEC opposition this year. I look at Tennessee as a sneaky opportunity. You circle Arkansas for obvious reasons. But Jeff Lebby knows Josh Heupel's system as good as anybody. I mean, the two of them worked together for a handful of years. Tennessee's going to be going into Starkville thinking, all right, this is one of our easier wins of the year.
I was going to say, they also have that working for them in that because the SEC schedule, yeah, they moved the dates around and the locations flipped. I think almost every team that played Mississippi State last year did not take them seriously in the league.
Yeah, they really didn't
treated
have
it
to.
Like a, they treated it like a scrimmage. Like, don't get anyone hurt. Be vanilla. Just don't do anything. Like, don't lose the game.
Yeah, for sure. So you think about Mississippi State, year two under Jeff Lebby. I think in some ways they're like last year's Vanderbilt. No, I think Vanderbilt's win total this time last year was at 3.5 as well. Now, am I saying that Blake Chapin is Diego Pavia? No, but I just think because of the critical mass of bodies, the likelihood that they're probably going to go 3-1 in the non-con, they'll find a way against somebody in a 6:30 p.m. SEC Network kickoff that no one's paying attention to in the fourth quarter.
Even talk dirty to me. Give me that 3:30 or was it 3:15? What is the SEC Network midday game where it's like literally, it's what used to be the 11:30 JP game, Jefferson Pilot.
Oh, yeah.
It's like whatever.
I feel
like the 11:45 SEC Network game more times than not is better than the 3:30 or whatever, the 3 o'clock SEC Network game.
I would do anything for one more game with Dave Neal, Dave Baker, and Dave Rowe. Yeah.
The three Daves. They used to on SiriusXM for the SEC Championship game on whatever college sports radio, they would get the Daves back to call it on radio.
You know, Dave Neal's still out there calling basketball games.
He's still calling football games.
Yeah.
He's probably calling the Mississippi State win.
Yeah, so I can see that this team is not going to be great, but it will be a lot more competent than last year's team. My only question is whether Jeff Lebby can survive if he's at 1-15 in the SEC through two seasons. I think so. But I mean, that's a tough conversation to have.
I think, I'll say this, I think he's not even in the top five most uncomfortable positions. I think they knew it was a teardown. And even in this era where you can get back pretty quickly, Mississippi State is not the team that's sitting there going, all right, buddy, here's $20 million to go and fix the roster.
So yeah, they're invested in being good at everything, which is hard to do.
And I also think they're not as invested in paying people not to work.
No, I actually fully endorse that.
I'm fine with that. All right. Missouri, this one's almost like not fair. Their win total is 6.5, and it's -164. I can just tell you right now, I'm buying that. I think their schedule's so soft. If they can be 9-3, and it's like last year. Did anybody really think they were that good?
It is a soft schedule, but I'm actually going to be a contrarian here.
You want that plus sign?
I do want that plus sign.
Good for you.
I think it could very easily be a season of a pretty significant regression.
All right, just read me the whole schedule.
All right, starting at home versus Central Arkansas.
When?
At home versus Kansas.
When?
Okay. Now we deviate there.
But it's home.
It is. At home versus Louisiana.
When?
At home versus South Carolina.
Toss up.
Homecoming versus UMass.
When?
Bye. You think they'll win the bye week?
It's an open date. We're just working on ourselves. There's no such thing as bye weeks.
Home versus Alabama.
Loss.
At Auburn.
Toss up.
At Vandy. Toss up.
Game went to overtime.
It's a toss up. Then you're home versus Texas A&M, home versus Mississippi State, at Oklahoma, at Arkansas.
So
it all depends on if Sam Pittman and Arkansas.
I just got to get him to 7.
To me, it's too many toss-ups. Like, I think realistically I would hold. I'm going to buy because it's plus money.
No, I respect it.
But I think it's probably hold territory because you look at Auburn, you look at Vanderbilt, you look at Mississippi State even.
This is also, honestly, to be fully transparent, this is a little bit of a content play because I do find it funny how much Drinkwitz winks at the camera when they have like they're going to have another wildly unimpressive win to get to 8-2, and he's going to like wink at the camera, still a playoff team. And I just love how insane that drives everybody.
Yeah, my man's out here making Epstein jokes at like SEC Media Day. Yeah. He's like, dude, like, what are you doing?
He's the alpha nerd, baby.
God, he's different.
He's a lot.
He's a lot to handle.
All right, Oklahoma with, by some accounts, the hardest schedule in college football. The win total, 7.5. It's juiced to the over, +116. I'm going to take the cheese all day. I see the plus sign. I also know the schedule is what it is. I think they're an 8-4 team.
Give me your reasoning.
So while I'm also lower on Mateer than everybody else, I do think I like what they've added elsewhere. They beefed up the running game. They've gotten receivers that are actually capable of playing college football.
Right.
Like, their receiving core is not, no joke, the walk-on that was on the scout team, Like, they have playmakers. Their defense last year was pretty good. Like, I don't think they have to take a sizable leap to get to 8 wins. The problem is, I have no problem if you want to say, man, it's kind of your Missouri logic of so many toss-ups, and I basically have to hit 3 of them. Because let's see. All right. Week 1 is a cupcake, right?
Yes.
Week 2 is at Michigan. Or no, Michigan at home.
Yes.
All right.
At Temple's a win.
Because that's the other thing about Michigan game. Has the SEC already announced? I assume that is the 6:30 ABC game.
Not sure on that, but it would make sense.
Because didn't we announce through week 3?
Oh, yeah. It's out there. I just haven't gotten to week 2. I just
think the SEC's... when the SEC knows Michigan's coming to town, they're the only... My thing is either put that game at 11 a.m. in the middle of the heat.
I think the advantage there for OU is that you get Bryce Underwood in a hostile environment for the first time. I think that gives Oklahoma a pretty significant edge in that game. I would maybe lean over, but I, in all reality, I'm going to hold on this one because it's an experiment with John Mateer and Ben Arbuckle in this system that they're going to run that was successful at Washington State.
It is a 6:30 game. Yes, and also, let's be clear. There's no one that Mateer saw last year that's going to look like Michigan's defense.
So it's a significant hold for me. I mean, I
have no problem with that.
Yeah, respect you for having a lean on that. I do not.
All right, this was a win total that shocked me. All right, Ole Miss is at 8.5. It is slightly juiced to the over at -115. They're -105 to the under. All right, the non-cons are like Washington State and 3 directionals.
Oh, well, you got Tulane on there.
That's true. Tulane's on there. I think they'll be okay. All right, so that means I've got to get them to 5-3 in the SEC, and that includes Kentucky on the road, Arkansas at home, LSU at home. That includes South Carolina at home, at Oklahoma, at Mississippi State, at Georgia, and at George. The road SEC games are Georgia, Kentucky. I think I already said Kentucky.
9 games in the state of Mississippi for Ole Miss. 9. Because they're at Mississippi State, and they have 8 true home games. I think for that reason, I'm on the over. I'm going to buy on Ole Miss.
The only thing with Ole Miss is that is a lot to ask of a quarterback that's already got an elbow problem.
Yeah.
I'm holding. This was one I swear I thought I saw it earlier this summer at 7.5. It's like, I can get them to 8-4. No sweat. The fact that it's 8-5, it's a hold for me. Because I feel like it's 9-3, 8-4, and I don't feel strongly enough to sit there and go, I'm going to pay a little bit of juice.
And Lane Kiffin, we trust, baby.
Yeah, but it's first-year quarterback. Most of the time, Matt's first year with him was up and down. Jackson's first year with him was up and down. And like that's the thing. George and I have talked about this. Austin gets remembered for the Georgia drive that was an outstanding drive. There were at least 2 balls that could have easily been picked, if not should have been picked, and all of a sudden, I'm not sure if we're talking the same way.
Thing is, at Georgia is the only sure loss. That's the only one on the schedule for Ole Miss that you look at and say, okay, well, they're not going to win between the hedges. Every other game on their schedule is highly winnable. LSU comes to Oxford this year, right? So I don't know. Like, I just have a hard time.
They also have more toss-ups this year than I felt like. Oh, Florida. We forgot Florida.
Well, it depends
Florida.
What
Florida's
you think of.
Florida's an Oxford.
What do you think of Florida, right? Because that's a huge determining factor. What do you think of Tulane, right?
I'll say this. I don't think Ole Miss is better defensively than they were last year. And
that's exactly where I was going to chime
they
in.
Can't be better. I mean,
like, I think
they
Ole
have
Miss,
some returning pieces that should be good, but they've also had to restock. The entire secondary is gone.
And also, I still don't trust Lane's offensive lines. Every year I keep hearing, this year it's different. This year it's different. Well, every year it's the same thing gets them. Like, in the end, What got them in the Kentucky game? They couldn't block Walker. Or was it Big Zero?
Yeah, Deonay Walker.
Yeah, they couldn't block Walker. Like, I don't know. It's a hold for me. All right. I can already tell you this. I was annoyed when I saw this. South Carolina. Because I want to short this season so badly. Because when you really go in depth into last year, Shane Beamer does what Shane Beamer does, which is he really hypes up a mediocre year. It's seven and a half. +134. It's that thing where I wanted to come in shorting it, and now it's like, all right, I only got to get him to 8-4. I'm not asking him to be 10-2. Now that plus sign's eyeing me. So I'm going to you first.
I'm going to sell South Carolina.
Even though it's 7.5?
Yeah. All right,
so get me to 7-5. Because, listen, I'm all ears.
So this is a 7-win team. So I think more so than the schedule for South Carolina, which, by the way, Phil Steele has it ranked as the number 4 most difficult schedule in the country. So bear that in mind here. Yes, like they have.
Wait,
the
we have Beamer. We have the
Beamer
Frank
Bowl out of the gate, Virginia Tech. Yes, that game is in Atlanta, so it's a neutral. Then your South Carolina State, easy win. Vanderbilt at Missouri, home versus Kentucky, at LSU, home versus Oklahoma, home versus Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. Then you close with Coastal and Clemson. So last season they beat Clemson. I don't think they're going to beat Clemson again. I think Clemson's a good bit better than South Carolina is this year, has revenge on the mind. Then you look at Virginia Tech. That's a really tricky opener. They'll probably be roughly a 6.5-point favorite maybe in that game, but by no means a sure thing or a sure bet. And then the roadies are tough, man, at Missouri, at LSU, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. How many of those games is South Carolina actually going to be favored in? And then you could get snuck up on at home by Vanderbilt or by Oklahoma. You got Alabama at home, you're going to be a home dog there. So there's just not a lot of layups on this schedule. I mean, South Carolina State's a layup, but you got 10 power conference opponents. And then, oh yeah, by the way, I mean, Coastal, they're not what they were at their heyday under Jamie Chadwell with Grayson McCall at quarterback, but they're still one of the better outfits in the Sun Belt. You're going to be looking ahead to Clemson in that game. So, I mean, it's about the schedule, I guess. And then the roster is more the problem for me because everybody wants to say, well, they got Lenora Sellers back at quarterback and Dylan Stewart back on the edge. And yes, that is true. Two of the best players in the SEC at their respective positions. But it's about the rest of the roster. It's about the depth. It's about a team that doesn't have much returning production. It's about a team that keeps hyping up Nick Harbor to be some superstar Biletnikoff contender, but who really hadn't shown it yet on the field. And so I just think there are way too many questions up and down this roster to see them getting to 8 wins.
All right, I'm going to try some. I'm still 2 weeks away from betting college football restraint. I'm going to move it to a hold because I came in wanting to sell. I talked myself into buy. So the right answer should just be hold. Because that's the thing. It's like I don't have as much seller stock as everyone else does, but like he is a tricky enough, like he's a good enough runner that if he gets outside, there's not a lot you can
do.
No,
I mean, I like him. I love him. I think Dylan Stewart's a phenomenal edge rusher. It's the rest of the team.
All right, I'm trusting you on this one. The Tennessee Vols, it's 8.5, +112 to the over, -138 under, but we're saying 8.5, by over 8.5. Buy, sell, hold.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore hold on this one. I think it's either 8 or 9. I don't know which one it's going to be, but it's either 8 or 9.
So we have Syracuse to open.
Yeah, that's a dub.
So you're not going to remind everyone that, you know, what else happened in 1998.
Yeah, you beat Syracuse on the last second Jeff Hall field
Absolutely.
Goal.
Absolutely.
Jeff Hall, he was my childhood hero. I knew at an early age.
He beat Florida.
I knew at an early age that the only position I would be big enough to play in football was kicker.
I mean, he kicked forever. He was on the Jets for, like, felt like 15 years.
I think he's a financial advisor in Knoxville.
That checks out.
Yep.
Yeah, he's selling some type of financial services.
Exactly.
That checks out.
I would imagine he's doing all right.
Yes.
Yeah, so the schedule's really not that tough. I mean, if you want to go on the over for Tennessee, it's because, oh, wow, this is a manageable schedule. I mean, Syracuse is your marquee non-con. They're in for a season of regression year two under Fran Brown. So, I mean,
and also, I know Ohio State blames Kyle McCord for every problem they had. Kyle was a really good player for them.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, now they got to find a new QB. So, I mean, no, the SEC slate is quite manageable by Tennessee standards.
All right, so the road games are Florida. What we looked this up, we tried to do it from memory. I think you know the stat. Is it 0-2?
What's the last win in Gainesville?
Yeah, Casey Clawson. He won there twice.
He's the Iceman.
Yeah.
Is that 02 or 03?
I believe it was 03. Let's see. They play there in odd. What's this?
But see, I don't know. Did we get screwed up when? Did we get screwed up in COVID?
Let's see. In 2020, they were at home versus Florida. So, no, it didn't mess them up.
Okay. So, it's odd year. So, it was 03 because it was Clawson in 03. So, that would be, what, 11 straight trips? If I'm doing my math right. 11 times 2 is 22. 25. Yeah. So, or is it 10 straight?
So, 10 straight that Tennessee has lost in the Swamp. I've been there for a few of them. Inexplicably, Bob Shoup dialed up a prevent defense that allowed a Florida wide receiver to get behind it.
Also, don't forget just Butch yelling at everybody, it was cover four. Or no, was it Shoup? Who was yelling at when they just ran a post pattern against two high safeties and they were yelling, it should have been cover four. It's like, why wasn't everyone at midfield?
Yeah, I also was there when he started Nathan Peterman.
Yep.
He threw for negative yards.
No, he had a stat line because I was watching with my Tennessee friends. I told them I know for a fact I could have had the same stat line. He was like 2 for 7 for -7 yards
with multiple turnovers
and a pick.
Yeah,
I was like, I know I could have done that.
They started four different players at quarterback that season.
Yeah.
That was a great year to be on the beat.
All right, so you're holding. My biggest problem is I can't buy this because I do not believe in Aguilar. I do think Heupel's going to get, we're going to get to the end of the season, and it's like, I know there's plenty of blame to go around. But I think you're going to get to the end of the season and realize we should have figured it out with Nico sooner. It's like the contract holdout in the NFL. Don't let it get to that position.
So I don't necessarily disagree. I think their ceiling would be a little higher with Nico, but I don't think this would have been the year even with Nico. I think the reality is the fact that they did nothing at wide receiver of any significance in the portal, like, always meant to me that this team was going to be pretty hard capped and really, really hard pressed even with Nico to match last year's 10-win regular season college football playoff appearance. I think in their minds, this was always probably more of an 8 or a 9-win team, regardless of who was at quarterback. So the absolute ceiling here is 10-2. I think the floor is 7-5, and the likely scenario is 8 or 9, which is why I'm holding 8.5.
All right. I actually think this is a fascinating. I'm want to get your reaction first. All right. So Texas, the total is 9.5, -196. You basically got to lay two bills to win one.
Yeah.
The under is +158 for those that are curious, but it's over 9.5 buy, sell, hold.
Yeah, I don't love the juice, but
What are the realistic losable games? We know they go to Georgia.
Well, I mean, at Ohio State and at Georgia. Those are the two that jump off the page.
Okay. After that.
Realistically losable games for Texas after that. The rivalry game against Texas A&M late in the season.
At home this year.
It is at home. And then I would also say you go to the Swamp and you have Oklahoma on the neutral.
No, I actually think the Swamp one is one of those ones. I think when we were talking about this with Tim, that's one of those games where, isn't it relatively early? I think they flipped it. It was late last year, and I think they flipped it to earlier.
It's October 4th with both teams coming off of a bye.
Yeah, but like that is the get the Swamp rocking at night.
Man, I hope DJ Lagway is healthy because Arch Manning versus DJ Lagway at night in the Swamp.
We deserve that as fans.
Would be awesome.
Man, you got to really want to just be the contrarian. I think I also saw John Ewing of BetMGM pointed out from BetMGM's tickets, the most bet over is Texas at 9.5.
So if you think Texas is going to win more than 9.5, I would just take the money line at Ohio State.
I think you're probably right. And then even if they lose that and you still think that, you're probably better off than just taking money line at Georgia.
So is Texas Ohio State doesn't have an odds posted? That's interesting. Because I'd be curious to know what that
money. I think it's 2.5.
Okay. So.
So probably +105, 110.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. So here it is.
You can
get Texas +116 on the money line to beat Ohio State. So like if you think they're going to be a 10-win team. Just say, hey, you know what? I think they're going to beat Texas because if they lose to Texas, their odds of hitting this over 9.5 are way down. Or over 9.5 are way down. So
might be able to take the also the
in season win total.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one of those ones where I think if you really want to get frisky with it, it's either, hey, everyone on the market, I'm just going to be a contrarian, which is fine. A lot of people make money that way. Or if you really have a conviction that the Arch thing is, it's obviously going to be overhyped just because his last name. Like, it's going to be at a different level. But if you think that it's so far at a different level, then I think you can take the under. But you have to really believe. In my mind, you have to believe that Quinn Ewers last year is better than Arch this year.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think he'll be better than Quinn Ewers.
That's my problem. Okay. We had A&M Day earlier this week on August the 4th. Heyo. 7.5. Minus 168 to the over. Plus 136 under. This is just the classic, duh. Like, we just made the joke. 8-4, August 4th. A&M Day. You're telling me I get a half game? Yeah, okay, cool. I'll take that.
Yeah. I hit that dollar sign because I'm going to take the over on this one.
Here's what you know is going to happen. Okay, so let's go through this schedule because let me read out the dates because when they have Notre Dame, what, week?
Three.
Three, because Notre Dame starts with Miami, has, I think, a MAC game, and then they go to South Bend. All right, so read me the schedule.
Okay, so September the 22nd, home versus Auburn. Then your home versus Mississippi State, home versus Florida, at Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri. Interesting to have three consecutive SEC road games. There is a bye sprinkled in there after Arkansas and LSU, but nonetheless, you go between October 11th then to November the 15th without a home game. And then you close South Carolina, Samford, go Bulldogs. And, oh, that's a Bucky game because you got
Bucky going. It's the Bucky Bowl.
Yeah, and then you close, obviously, thankfully, one of the beauties of conference realignment is that we get Texas A&M and Texas again. That game will be at Darrell K. Royal Stadium in Austin.
All right, so I want to give you this toss-up. If Marcel Reed would have played against Notre Dame, would A&M have won the game?
I think Notre Dame wins that game Texas A&M wins that game in a lot of other circumstances. Notre Dame was so fortunate last season that they got Texas A&M out of the gate in game one under Mike Elko. And I think Texas A&M got a lot better. I think Texas A&M and Marcel Reed are kind of poised for a breakout here. Like, I know everybody's sick of, oh, this is Texas A&M's year, and the 8-4 joke is a good one. This is not me saying that they're going to make the playoff. It's not me saying that they're going to win the SEC. But if you're putting the win total at 7.5, I'm a big believer in Mike Elko. I'm a big believer in Marcel Reed.
I want to be fair to Notre Dame fans. My gut actually says it would not have made that much of a difference because they got beat so badly up front. With that said, if you get beat up front, Marcel Reed had a much better chance of making something happen than Goddard Wegman did.
But at that point, Notre Dame was bad enough to lose to Northern Illinois. Like, if they'd been facing a better, more entrenched, established Texas A&M team, I think the results could have been different.
I could just already see it. Like, they're either going to South Bend and winning, or they're going to get to that LSU game at 6-1, and where it's going to be the A&M hype
train. Sure. So I'm on the under for Notre Dame, and that goes in tandem with me being on the over for Texas A&M.
All right. We wrap it up. Diego and the boys, 4.5 is the win total, -192 to the over, +154. I mean, it sounds like the real question is how many other people are watching the SEC Netflix show? Because apparently Diego's just absolutely putting on a Diego show. Obviously, as a principal for me, I have to take this over no matter what. I will probably try to sprinkle, see if I can find 6. I actually think, though, Vanderbilt is building a competent team beyond just Diego. I think, listen, I don't know if they're ever going to have, like, real pure skill guys that threaten you, but I do think up front they're building a pretty good, like, I think their offensive line, I think, is pretty good, and their defensive line is manageable, much more so than you would think for a Vanderbilt.
They could hit this over by the end of September.
Yeah.
It's Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Georgia State, Utah
Revenge game
State.
Too.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, listen, they won six and lost to Georgia State last year.
Right, exactly. So I don't love the juice here. It's almost a 2-1 sort
of
deal.
No, I would be looking for an alternate.
Yeah. But I would, I mean, do I think Vanderbilt's going to take this big step forward and compete for a national championship like Diego Pavia thinks? Absolutely the heck not. Do I think they're going to go 6-6? Yeah, probably.
That's kind of where I am. It's like, do I think they can be what Arkansas has been? Yeah.
My biggest concern is literally whether or not Diego Pavia can still walk by mid-October. I mean, I'm not just talking about the target he's put on his back with all the brash things that he said. He's certainly done that. It's just the way he plays. That man carries the rock and lowers his shoulder, and he's not a big guy.
I'm going to obviously have to contractually pick up my guy. Is everyone acting like that this guy doesn't talk, period? Like, this is a guy that was, when he was at New Mexico State, he was peeing on rivals' logos. Like, I don't think they're going to be any more incentivized to hit him hard. Now, to your point, Diego in November was a much different Diego than September.
Penny Hardaway getting some shine on the Golf Channel right now.
Also, shout out to Munns for figuring out
TaylorMade.
I think it's the QI35 or whatever.
Okay.
I never know. It's like that could be TaylorMade drivers or Audi mom mobiles. Like, I feel like they all have the same letters.
The same finish. Yeah.
Well, no, it's like the same. Like, it's like a Q. 10. I have no idea if that's a TaylorMade driver or if that's an Audi crossover SUV.
Fair enough.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Williams has a new gig. We'll tell you about that and more from the world of sports. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
ESPN. All right, Cobb, before we get to Jay Will, I actually think Memphis football is in a really weird spot where I've been mentioning to George, I think you probably I've probably talked about this with you, but it is this weird reality where the fan base emotionally has prepared themselves for kind of the reset year. But when you look at where they stacked up in the coaches poll, which honestly, I don't put zero stock into. As the season goes on, I will care less about that. But where I put some stock into it preseason is that kind of tells you what coaches think about the job. And to me, like, that was kind of a hat tip. Like, they've got NIL. Their roster's going to be pretty good. Over at FanDuel right now, the win total's 8.5. You can get +104 for the over.
even if you want to say, all right, Arkansas at home's a loss, which
it's a spot. We've talked this. It is a spot.
Tim sniffed this out like back in April. They still get Tulane at home.
Navy is at home.
Navy is at home. I'm asking them to go 9-3.
I think it's really doable.
I kind of like that at plus 104.
Because it's not as if, like, yeah, you could lose Arkansas, you could lose Tulane, you could lose Navy.
But still,
they're all at home. I mean, so you're not going to lose all three.
And, like, the Silverfield thing has kind of been like, all right, they don't win the big game, but they win most of the other games.
Yeah, so in the CBS Sports 136, the only G5 teams ahead of Memphis were Boise State, Tulane, and Navy.
And I think in the coaches' poll, it was like flip, but I think also in the coaches' polls, like Memphis, Tulane, and Navy were like separated by like 4 points, which was like four votes. Like it was like jam-packed.
I'd lean over.
I just don't hate that. All right, we mentioned it. Our boy White Chocolate is back. He has been hired full-time by Barstool Sports. This from Brandon Kleen over at Awful Announcing. As Barstool Sports staffs up for its new forthcoming television show on FS1, owner Dave Portnoy announced Thursday that he has hired Jason Williams to join the team. Portnoy struck up a relationship with Williams recently through Williams' Barstool fandom, and now the longtime NBA point guard will be a front-facing talent for the company. On the unnamed show, Portnoy explained he's a Barstool guy. He reached out to me. He's like, hey, I love Barstool and with all these basketball podcasts and whatnot that want me a part of it, I think I would fit in there. Earlier this year, Williams joined Portnoy and Charlotte for a one-bite pizza review. And according to Portnoy this week, they were together for a bass fishing trip along with Hall of Fame wide receiver Randy Moss. For those that don't know, a college buddy of Jason Williams, and hit it off. He knows everything. He knows all sports. He watches everything. So I think he'll be a good fit. So he'll be a part of the FS1 show. Dave Portnoy said.
Oh, he's going to be on FS1, so you better have that bleep button ready, huh?
So, I mean, I think the Barstool show is going to be like McAfee's show, where if you watch McAfee's show on ESPN2, you hear 60% of the dialogue.
I feel bad for the producers.
I also...
Kindred spirit.
I also want to give Jay Will a little credit. If you talk to me off mic, I cuss like a sailor. There's a lot of people that are able, when you flip the button, you just know, all right, I can't say it.
You got to learn that, though. He's not coming from a media background.
No.
If you ask me, like, who doesn't have a filter?
How much do you think it matters now? Marshawn Lynch is on major television.
Yeah, I was all in on this until I learned that it was going to be on FS1, and now I'm like, oh, man, he's on Big Boy TV. If he's just on Barstool's, like, social media platforms and whatnot, then, like, YouTube, podcast.
What they're literally going to do is the same thing they do with McAfee. Barstool's running the show out of their Chicago studio, and it's just getting simulcasted on FS1. I do think this is an interesting development. Mainstream media and legacy media, however you want to define it, which had forever acted like Barstool didn't know what the audience was and didn't know what they were doing. They're now, like, everybody's just trying to go out and trying to copy them. Like, ESPN hired, George, help me out, who's the girl? She ran the Commander's social team. She's like a massive, like, TikTok internet star. They hired her. Like, everybody's just going to, like, we need viral videos on social for clicks and whatnot, and we need, like, unfiltered content.
Well, Jason Williams will be unfiltered content.
I also think it's better that...
Was it Katie Feeney?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Because I think the internet went, well, like, who is this? Like, who cares? Like, what, if you don't want to, like, you don't have to... That's the great thing about the internet. Everything you consume, you made the choice. Like, you know what I mean?
You just got to train the algorithm. Or not watch it.
Yeah, that's the kind of the scary thing when you're like, why is this popping up on my feed? And it's like, because my feed knows me better than I know myself, and they know that I'll watch it.
So
that's scary.
Also, that's like one of those things of, why are people getting up in arms about a major company hiring a random social media manager, pretty much?
I just think it's also the internet culture of, like,
come on.
Everybody just wants to gripe and complain.
I will say this. I know it's. I know I'm as somebody in the media. I'm supposed to say that Twitter has now become an absolute hellsphere. Other than like, I think some functionality has not been improved.
It's been pretty unstable.
My feed's the same, but I also never do this. I've told Mark the trick was, whenever I notice, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not.
Oh, you're on. You're like, oh, I'm on the for you.
Correct.
Yes.
Like
exactly.
I like when I notice
every
something
time.
Is like triggering me or whatever. Like I'm like, that's on me.
Yeah.
If I just stick to the following,
it's just people that you follow.
It's exactly.
Well, they're trying to get us to start doing vertical video. To accompany some of our better stories at CBS Sports. They want us to do vertical video to promote it across social media platforms. I'm realizing now that I'm
now... By the way, do you feel like you're back in third year journalism school when every project was a multimedia where you had to put the video on top of whatever story you wrote, and then you had to take photographs. Like you're doing a whole multimedia project.
It is. It's all multimedia now, and it's a little bit uncomfortable because this is the first time where I really feel like I'm a generation behind I don't do Instagram. I don't do TikTok. Like I'm on Twitter, and I've been on Twitter for 15 years. But I'm like, man, am I basically like, is this like MySpace in 05? Like it's going downhill fast. Like
you know what? I had this thought the other day. Tell me, this is half baked. But I was thinking about this. I have a personal belief that most of what happens in life is a reaction. So if you want to take the example, punk rock is a direct answer to all the rock in the 70s and 80s that became super, in late 70s became super intricate. We go from punk to hair metal to then we go to grunge. Like everything is just a response. I think something that has been ironic is the nerd class, if you will, the coders, the people that have built all of these social media platforms that we now use. We've now had the response to where it's like they took over for a while because they knew how to build it, but now they've made it so seamless that now all the douchebags and all just the awful people that they were largely probably responding to build these platforms to get rich. Like they've now just made it so easy that these people can just use their platforms. Like, well, those are the people that are now famous again.
Yeah. It's no longer about the media brands. It's about the individuals.
Exactly.
Yeah. That incite the most outrage and views.
The other half of that half baked take is that everything's also a flat circle.
Yeah. No,
all of that just comes back around too.
No, it's like, all I had to do was just like, hold on to your clothes from 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, print.
Oh yeah, you're back in business.
Yeah,
print media is coming back any day now. You know,
you have a physical copy of the Bible right there with you. You know,
hey, Phil Steele is holding steady.
I think it's
man.
Fair to
As
say.
Should
I think it's fair to say taste, maybe consumption habits, not necessarily, but taste is definitely time as a flat circle. Because I also think it's largely responsive.
Yeah, and here we are in 2025 with Jason Williams back in the
saddle.
Let's go.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got a discussion. Is this a tell your story? Ryan Day, when asked about the state of his quarterback battle between Julian Sain and Lincoln Kineholtz, the competition continues. They've both had good moments and moments where they're growing. I will say I've been pleased with the progress. It's going to go right down to the wire. The positives of having a competition is that, you know, every day you get you got to bring it. The guys are always on edge. They're uncomfortable. They're working at it. I think that's healthy for the entire building. Is the fact that Ohio State actually has a quarterback competition, tell your story, is this just we're trying to keep both guys?
Oh, he is telling his story big time. There is no quarterback competition. It's going to be Julian Sain.
I tend to agree.
I think that's true. So I think this is a tell your story. I will say, one of Hugh's underrated tell your stories was when he, because Chad Kelly had gotten into trouble and then was at EMCC, and he didn't want to just basically say, I'm going to get Chad Kelly to be my quarterback. He technically started Ryan Buchanan and was it Devontae Kincaid? Started them each one game. And then let Chad play most of the time, and then Chad started the Alabama game, and the other didn't play a snap. That was an all-time.
Dalton Kincaid.
No, Dalton's the receiver.
Dalton Kincaid is the tight end.
From Utah.
That's right.
I think it's Devontae.
Either way.
He's from Texas.
These coaches love to tell their story in August.
Especially in a quarterback contract. Yeah. All right, my man. Glad to have you back for just one more week.
It was fun. Good summer.
Good to have you in studio for the last month or so. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey Sand. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.